The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 501. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, I'd also like to thank all the folks who checked out the milestone episode last week. Of course, I'm talking about PVD Cast number 500. I got a lot of congratulations and a lot of nice words and compliments and whatnot, and it means a lot to me, and I really do appreciate it. As I said so many times over the last week or so, I can't believe I reached 500 episodes. But here we are, ready to move on to the next 500, starting with this episode, which features a guest that has been on many, many times in the past. I think it's around 6 or maybe 7 or maybe 8 at this point. But nonetheless, Frank James Bailey is joining me on this episode. Now, Frank is a writer and a creator of comics, such as his family-friendly superhero comic, Turkana. But he's returning to talk about a new project that he has. It's a horror novel. As a matter of fact, it's his first horror novel called Asriel, the Story of Steve James. So we talk all about it. You know, I asked him why he decided to dive into horror novels, what his favorite horror movie is, and et cetera, et cetera. And we even talk about Terracana and some of his other projects as well from the past. So I always enjoy chatting with Frank. But before I get to that particular conversation, I need to thank a few great sponsors. And the first one that I'd like to thank is, of course, Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashions and health and beauty, then look no further than Courtney 614. You can find her at all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc., etc. Simply look for Courtney 614, that's C-O-R-T-N-E-Y 614, or Courtney underscore 614 on some of those outlets. So nonetheless, get yourself some fabulous deals and let Courtney know that you heard about her fantastic endeavor right here on the PVD Cast. And now moving on to the OG sponsor of this great show, that of course is World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every era, the golden, silver, bronze, and modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. So stop by the store. Again, it's at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you could say hello by checking them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And once again, I want to thank both these great sponsors for their support. And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear me sit down and chat with Frank James Bailey. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I'm sitting down with a gentleman that has graced us with his presence once again. I'm talking about Frank James Bailey. And Frank, I don't know how many times you've been on the PVD Cast. Not that I'm complaining. It's always a good time to have you on and chatting about what you got going on. But, you know, this is probably appearance 6 or 7, maybe?
Six or seven, yeah.
Yeah. But time flies, but that's how the world works. But You have a new project that we definitely want to talk about. But how you been before we get into that?
I have been pretty good. I think the last time we talked, I basically got a job as a nighttime security guard. And I was promoted to supervisor at that place. So I instead of working nights, now I work during the day, which is good, great, because I get to have a normal day. You know, like I think it's 7 a.m. till, you know, 3 p.m. So it's a normal day. But the bad thing is if I'm the boss, which I am, if I'm the boss and somebody calls off, I got to figure out what to do to figure out, you know, a replacement sometime. But the good thing about working there, and we talked about this a little bit before, was there are some pockets during the day where there's not a whole lot happening. So I can write while I'm there. Not a lot, but I can write a little bit while I'm there. Now pull up my computer and maybe write for like a half hour, 45 minutes or something, or add a little idea here and there, that kind of thing. But, you know, weekends, if I have to work a weekend, that's a great time to write a little bit while I'm at work, even though I'm supposed to be one of the monitors. There's not a whole lot happening, especially holidays. Holidays, there's nothing going on because nobody's there. I can write to my heart's content while I'm at work. But I do got to keep an eye on the monitors and do my job. But, you know, it's nice to have a job where I can actually do a little side project, too, if I wanted to.
Yeah, don't get fired because you're writing all the time.
I know, exactly.
Well, let's talk about the new project. The new project is entitled Azrael, The Story of Steve James. And the book itself is a horror novel. And so I got to ask, why did you decide to write a horror novel?
Well, for one, I didn't realize this until after it turned Halloween. Basically, it's like repeat business every year if you think about it, you know, because it's a horror book. And let me say, I don't know, December or something, January, people are gonna like, well, you know, they want to like do Christmas stuff, whatever. But of course, come September and October, every single year, hey, there's a horror book that he wrote. So it's basically a repeat business every year if you think about it. That's one reason. But the other reason is it's mainly sort of a self-reflection of myself. I'm not Steve, and Steve isn't me. But I put a lot of my own problems in Steve. So I have two kids and I'm married, but Steve, he's getting a divorce. He only has one kid. He works in Youngstown, Ohio, which I lived in Youngstown, Ohio for a while. He's also working 12-hour days at a factory he can't stand. And he lives in a small town apartment. That's like a little studio apartment, which that I kind of use my living in Youngstown in a studio apartment as his place, sort of, you know. So I'm not Steve. Steve isn't me, but I put a lot of my own problems in Steve and kind of reflected on some of my own past and put that in the book.
Okay. And then we have another character. You've mentioned Steve James, but we have a character named Kim Sweet. Can you tell us a little bit about that character?
Okay. Here's the thing. The general synopsis of the book is after Steve, he worked in the factory, he's getting divorced, all kind of stuff. And he loves anime and he loves to write, which I'm a writer too, but I like to write. And he's just kind of like, okay, do I write this or not? He's kind of like a lot of writers who want to write, but don't have the courage to write. He's that guy. And he uses writing as therapy. Well, he puts some stuff on like some fan. He writes fan fiction. He loves to write fan fiction. His favorite anime thing called Death Touch. That's just, even it's a made up show, but that's his favorite anime show, Death Touch. In the show, there's this person named Yami, and he happens to talk to this girl named Kim, who happened to just text him out of the blue. And then he starts feeling a little bit better because he tells her these three different stories that he's working on. Because he's a writer and she loves his stories. Well, he tells her three different new stories. And in each story, there's a connection to his life. And in each story, somebody dies. And she wants to hear every bloody detail.
Okay. It sounds very, very interesting there.
Yeah.
And, you know, since we are real close to Halloween, as we're recording this the week before Halloween, it's topical for sure.
Yes. I like to say that I also want to point out, yes, my wife has read it. A couple other people have read it. And I think there's some reviews out there. It is, I guess you could say, leaning more toward a thriller. But I call it horror because there are people who die in it. It's not really murder or nothing, but people die in it. And there's some gruesomeness, but not a lot. But there is a lot of thrilling events in it as well. You wonder, what the hell's going on here? What the hell's going on there? You know, it's a lot of thrill. Matter of fact, my wife compared it to like The Sixth Sense or Silence of the Lambs. So it's still a horror movie, but it's a horror book, but it's more of a, she called it a thriller. And some people have called it that too, but I really call it a horror book because, like I said, people die in it. Like one girl gets chopped in half and another girl is sort of hanging to death. And that's another thing too, with the the first story he's telling Kim, two girls are in a room. This is where I'm want to basically warn people if they want to buy it, which is great. I'm glad they want to buy it. They want to buy it. But it does tend to lean in a spicy category of that first book. The first story. He tells her three different stories. And the first story is they're kind of like Saw. Remember the movie Saw?
Yeah.
And all the other implements of Saw? Well, it's kind of like that a little bit. Two women are in a room. One is naked. The other one's not. They both have a rope around their necks. They're both hands are handcuffed behind their backs. And there's a key directly in the center of them. Of course, there's also a key in back of the one girl. So there's like three keys in the room. How they're going to get out if the rope is going up 1 inch every 5 minutes and the key is going down 1 inch every 5 minutes. So I'll describe that throughout the next four or five chapters. And then, of course, it gets harder and harder because there's like a sprinkler system that goes on and it's really cold and they're trying to escape. They're almost on their tippy toes, you know. So there's thrilling elements like that, and there's also thrilling elements of other things too. But yes, it is a horror book, and if you're into horror, thrilling stuff like Stephen King, you're probably gonna love it.
So you would say probably, if you were going to give this a rating, you would say this would probably be an R-rated.
Oh, definitely. Tale? Yes.
Okay.
If it was a book or if it was a movie, I would say it's R-rated. I it's probably leaning into the spicy category, but it's definitely, if it was a movie, it'd be R-rated. It's not for kids, that's for sure. But I'm an adult, and the person in the book is like 35 or over 30, like 31, I think it is, and that's when their birthday is in October. So they're in their 30s, so definitely made for adults. And okay. I like to tell people that this, yes, is made for adults, but it's also, like I said, sort of self-reflective on me. But if you like horror stuff with a little bit of three different stories from three different kind of genres, but still horror, you might like this, you know?
Do you like horror when we're talking about the genre?
Yes and no. I like horror that has thrill to it. Mm. I don't like gore horror stuff. Because there's a lot of gore stuff, horror out there. Like I used to love like Friday the 13th and the horror movies from like the 80s and stuff. I kind of moved away from that, but I still love the thrill of a thriller horror movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I don't like the gore. I feel like sometimes it's a cheap cop out the filmmakers use. I would prefer like, I really like Hitchcock, so I like that suspenseful type of horror. I also enjoy Jaws. You know, that's a favorite of mine. So is Halloween, the original one. But those weren't, again, they weren't heavy on the gore. They told a story as well. That's the other thing, is I think in the horror genre for me, tell me a story, not just have, it's a maniac on the loose. He's going to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Halloween is kind of the same way. I mean, obviously the guy is, Michael Myers is killing people, you know, but it was really a thriller of trying to catch this guy, you know?
Right. Especially the first one. Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
And I mentioned that, like, I asked you if you saw Saw movie, you know, obviously that's a gore fest, but in relation to the two girls in the hanging room, that's not really gory. It's like, how they're going to escape, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of tension and drama. You know, like, you put your leg here, maybe I can get my handcuffs off, you know, that kind of thing.
So where can folks get a copy of the book? Because I know that they, according to your Facebook, they shipped just a little while ago. And so,
you can get it off of Amazon.com. I plan on putting the books on my website, which is frankjamesbailey.com. I haven't updated the website yet, though, but because I have copies here with me. So if somebody ordered one on my website, I can, you know, sell it to them, but I haven't updated the website yet. So right now it's just available on Amazon.com. You can get it on hardback. You can get it on paperback and ebook. This is for the first time ever. I actually made this one available on ebook, and I was so reluctant to before. And the same thing with the hard book cover. And looking at my hard book cover of this book, thinking, this looks like paperback books are good. I like paperback, especially like comic books and stuff. But to see a hardback book cover or hardback book that I wrote is like a totally different experience, you know?
Why were you reluctant to put your books in a digital format, if I may ask?
I guess for a long time, I was really worried that somebody was going to put it on some like free website and doubt that, you know, but people kept telling me, it's like, you're living in 2025. It's bound to happen eventually, even to people who are like, you know, like me. As long as you copyright, it should be. And even if they do find it there, you want them to read it. You don't want, obviously, I don't want to give away for free, but you know, you want them to read it. So if they do read it, maybe they'll buy your other stuff, you know? And that was one of the reasons I've never wanted to. Matter of fact, I just recently thought of, well, what if I added more like ebooks or digital books to my other older books, like The Taming of April and their wrestling series. Everything was available only on paperback. Now, this is the first time I had a hardbook cover, but I did notice that so far, the best sales have come from the ebook of this book. So,
oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to have to like, well, if there's people are buying the ebooks, maybe I should make the other one ebooks too.
So let's talk a little bit about the cover art for Azrael. Who did you work with on that cover art?
I don't remember her name. I'm going to give it to you in just a second. But she did some, she's from the Philippines, and she did some fan art for me for Turkana. So this has happened once before. Somebody did fan art of Turkana. It's like, wow, that's really good art. Maybe I'll use it, maybe you'll get it again sometime. And that's what happened this time. It's like, I really love that art. So she didn't mind that I used her art because I did pay her. Matter of fact, I'll just rephrase this. She is, I think, 14 or 15, but she's from the Philippines. So I had to pay her mom. I couldn't really pay her. But, give me a second. I'm going to look it up here. I don't remember her name because, like I said, her name only came up. Mika Alon from the Philippines. That's probably why I didn't remember it. Mika Alon. And I've only, like I said, I've only contacted her after she did this. And, but yeah, I put her in the book and stuff. It's Mika Alon from the Philippines. Another guy I hired to do, he did fan art of Turkana, and I hired him to do the artwork for the cover, a special cover for The Taming of April, and I hired him to do the actual covers for the Olivia Wrestling books. So occasionally, if somebody makes great fan art of Turkana, I might use you for something else, you know, like this happened, like I think the second or third time already.
Well, let's talk about Turkana, because it is your baby, so to speak.
Yeah, my flagship.
yeah, your flagship. Thank you. That I was struggling for the words. So let's let everybody know what Turkana is all about, because it is the family friendly option from your catalog. So why don't you let folks know a little bit about Turkana?
Okay. First thing, if you ever come to see me at a Comic-Con, I'm going to have on the left side of me all the Turkana stuff, Turkana books, Turkana comics, anything to do with Turkana. On the right side of my table is the stuff for adults. So I always tell people that when they come in, let's say they're coming with their kids, hey, if the kids should look over there, the adults should look over there. So it's separated. It's not put together. So the kids can actually look at Turkana stuff. Anyway, Turkana is about a female superhero that came from a distant planet, kind of like Superman, and she has these sort of electric powers coming out of her finger. She can make like constructs, but I put limitations on them. The bigger they are, the bigger it is, the faster it disappears. The smaller it is, the longer it'll stay. She looks like a 15-year-old girl, which is actually 150 years old. So far, there are 8 comics in the series. I plan on making 10. I'm still working on comic number 9 right now with my artist. Hopefully, it'll come out next year. But the problem was he was working through a website, and he's no longer on that website. So we're kind of working off the website, but I can't really like give him a job on a website where the website actually gives you a deadline. It's like before he had 3 months to finish the comic. Okay, no problem. You know, I'll run, maybe need an extension. Well, we're working off the website. So it's kind of like by now he would have had, I think, comic number 8 done, but we went through some of the rewrites and stuff or some of the tweakings. But he's only had like 5 pages done. So I'm a little concerned, but I'm sure we'll get it done. Hopefully by next year. Like I said, maybe the year after that, I plan on writing the last one, which is comic number 10.
You know what? You answered one of my questions. I was going to ask what the status of Turkana was.
I want to go to at least 10, and I have an outline for that with going up to comic 10, because I've been doing it for like 10 years. Some of them are great to sell, which is fantastic. And some of them really like it, especially young girls who love the female superhero genre stuff, but they're not like, a big blockbuster selling point. You know what I mean? It's like, I've been doing it for a long time and I'm trying to keep it going, but I also want to move on to something else. Like, we can talk about this in a second, but I'm also working on another, like a novel series, which would be a lot cheaper to produce because I'm only write one a cover, not a whole comic. But I plan on treating it kind of like Harry Potter or something. Basically, that's called Kaya Awakened, and it's about an elven girl on a distant planet called Fadir. And it's kind of like the elevator pitch is, it's like Aladdin meets Lord of the Rings. Because she's the last elven girl on the planet. If you touch her, you control her powers. And then she runs into a kid. Oh, no, a kid runs into her named Mason. Mason's my son's name. Like before with the Turkana series, Turkana has an alter ego. Well, Turkana is like my daughter's page, you know, my daughter's name. So now I'll have a book with Mason's name in it.
Cool.
But he won't be the superhero. He'll be like the relief because Kaya's powerful, but yet it's like sometimes she'll get angry. And like I said, in book one, he touches her by accident, like he touches her toe or something, and then he becomes her new master. So, okay, well, he uses her power in nefarious ways. Plus, like Aladdin, it's like you have certain rules. You know, you can't kill anybody. You can't, you know, use a weapon. There's certain rules kind of like Aladdin, but that's not Aladdin. Matter of fact, that's the big joke throughout the book. It's like, I'm not a genie. But that's my project I'm working on right now. I want to get those books ready for next year, or at least one book one ready for next year. That's why I'm like, okay, let's finish up Turkana and move forward to this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, it's been a heck of a ride. I mean, even if, you know, your goal is 10 issues, you get to that 10th issue. That's something to be proud of big time, because there's, I'm sure, not a lot of creators that get that far along.
Well, I think I made the mistake with when I made Turkana is I probably should have had like maybe a 3 or 4 story arc. Mm-hmm. But my vision in my head, of course, me watching cartoons and watching anime all the time, I want to have a story arc where it like goes through a whole series. Kind of like Netflix has like 10 episodes and like maybe 2 of them are like, you know, they're filler episodes. Well, of the story arc that I started with comic one, maybe 2 or 3 comics don't really fit into the mold of the whole story arc from comic 1 through 10. The one of them is coming out to a friend. There's nothing to do with the story arc. It's just her coming out to her friend. And the other one was she's saving a life. I think it's called You Can't Save Everyone. That's comic number 7. You Can't Save Everyone. Well, she goes into a room and she, you know, tries to save this little girl, but she goes back to save the dad and the house blows up and she can't get in time. So you can't save everyone all the time. And then she's devastated by that. She's the first time she tried to save somebody and she couldn't save him, you know. But that's what superheroes do. Sometimes you can't save everybody sometimes.
So you've already kind of touched base, too, on The Taming of April as well as Olivia the Mighty Kraken. Those are both projects that you're still working on as well, correct?
I know. Olivia the Mighty Kraken is actually out now. It's on Amazon. Again, there's no ebook yet, but all 3 books are on Amazon if you want to buy them on Amazon. Same with The Taming of April as well. For a while, I had a special cover for The Taming of April, but it was a limited cover. It was a special cover. And if you're limited, if you have a special limited cover, you shouldn't have it on for very long. Yeah. If it's special and limited, you shouldn't keep it on there for all the time. So,
yeah.
As the Olivia Rusling books, I went to Fantasticon in Toledo earlier this year in 2025. And I had this first time ever. I tried this for a different. I had a cardboard cutout of Olivia doing big muscle things, okay? With a big pose. And the cardboard cutout was in back of me. And the cardboard cutout, I made it like 6'2". So people would walk by, who the heck is that? They'd look at her, and then that's what sold the book in Toledo. But the weird thing was, it didn't do that well in Cleveland when I went there 2 weeks later. But of course, I went somewhere else, and then like, oh, people, you know, so it just depends on where. But yeah, there's a big eye catcher. And I'm sure you know anything about cardboard cutouts. They don't last forever. So I'm going to take the cardboard cutout one more time to my last Comic-Con of the year, which is in November. It's November 15th at DEFCON 10 in Defiance, Ohio.
Okay, cool. So let's talk a little bit about you and your creative process here. So could you describe your writing process? Like, how do you go about putting down your ideas? Is it kind of a very informal way? Do you structure things like outlines and rough drafts and then second drafts? Like, how do you make your writing process the most efficient that it can be?
I try to write outlines. I know some people don't write. Some people just go on the computer or typewriter and just start, you know, writing, and that's what comes out. I like to outline things. I like to sort of plan ahead. And things can change as you outline them, but at least you'll have a sort of a backbone of where you want to go. For example, I'm just finishing up the synopsis of all 5 books for the Kaya books. This way I have a general idea where the story is going to end, what book has what plot lines, what book's going to cover what, and where they're going to end up next, that there's a dragon inside of them, you know, that kind of thing, or if somebody dies. This way I have sort of things mapped out. I have book 1 of the Kaya books is written, but I have to do some rewrites. Book 2, I have outlined for like 10 pages, so I have to write that book yet, but I'm, again, it has to, there's a lot more has to be written, but again, I need to work on book 1 first. But I have an outline for all 5. I've outlined and mapped out all 5 books, so that's to me, outlining is the best. And I know you have, maybe we talked about this before, I don't know for sure, but do you even like AI at all, or don't use it, or use it sometimes, or...
I have dabbled in it. That's the best way that I can describe. Like, and I'll be very honest, it's all been stuff for the show. Like, can you give me a description of whatever? And I throw in some ideas. I will say that my experience with AI was that it was helpful, but I felt like I would do a better job just writing it from scratch, because there was just ways that I would... that I had to sit there and tweak things. And I'm like, why, if I'm tweaking all this stuff, why not just do it myself? That was my mindset. So
I'm using AI as a tool to help me not come up with ideas, but it's like, let's say I'm in a park and I'm walking. Oh, this is a great idea. So like, hey, I called you, my chap, you'd be saying, hey, write this down for book 1. This is an idea I want to put into it. So then when I get to my computer, I'll actually write that idea down. So that's how I use AI. Instead of having a piece of paper with me and just writing it down, I'll just tell my AI assistant, hey, save this for later. I'll come back to it. So that's how I use AI when I come up with a great idea that I want to add. Or let's say I come up with a new book idea. Hey, make a new folder and we'll call this one blah, blah, blah. And that's an idea. I'll work on this later because I want to work on the Kaya books right now. You know, so it's kind of like having a folder, but it's a digital folder of everything you want to work on. I don't use it to write my books. I write my books. I create the characters, but it helps me organize everything. Oh, the one thing I love about AI is if I'm at a Comic-Con, hey, ChatGPT, I just sold a comic. I just sold a book. It keeps all the records of everything. So that's a good thing for using AI for.
Yeah, I look forward to trying more and more with it. I'm just so far, like I've said, for me, it hasn't been as impactful. Maybe it's because I should use it for a different application than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I'm not against it. I just feel like I need a lot more exposure to it.
I just hope that some people believe that when I say, oh yeah, I use AI to jot an idea down. No, I'm not having AI write the book. I'm just giving it an idea to save for later so I can get back to it. It's a lot easier that way than like, hey, making a video or something and saving the video. You know, it's already there.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Frank for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. You can check them out online at wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics, or if you're in the area, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio.
So you told me a couple of appearances ago that you had a goal, that you had a massive goal for Turkana, that you would love to have Turkana become an animated feature or an animated show. So that made me think today when I was doing my research. Do you have a favorite or a couple of favorite animated films?
Let's go with series, because a couple of my favorite series right now that they're not on anymore, they were on Disney. One, The Owl House. Amphibia was a really good one because it was written really well. But again, they're not on Disney anymore. So that's why I'm watching more anime now, because I love the serialized storyline that goes from the beginning to the end. And a couple of things that, even though it's anime, made in Japan, that kind of stuff, one I really love recently was Dandadan, because it has that wild, totally different kind of structure. And the other one I just watched again for the second time recently was Apothecary Diaries. And this kid who's like maybe 14, 15 years old, it's taken like old Japan, like from like 200-300 years ago, where there's not princes, but emperors and stuff. Okay. And she's just, but she's actually very smart. She knows all about medicine and everything else. And it's like, you know, that I think Kaya would make a great anime if I ever got that far. But it's like, I've made contacts with people that I know of. And just recently I watched this YouTube channel called, something animation, God, I forgot what it's called, but Eric Calderon runs it. It's on YouTube, and he's told me, or at least made videos, that if you want to try and get an animation now, a lot of times in 2025, in the past year, you have to actually make the animation or the video yourself, put it on YouTube, and if it gets a lot of views and people say, hey, I want to see that, then they might want to come to you. But you trying to pitch your thing to somebody else now, it's almost unlikely. So I would have to actually hire somebody to make a 10-minute cartoon of Turkana, hope it does well, and then, you know, maybe Disney or Netflix or somebody would buy it if it does well, if I spend all that money to make a cartoon of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
The goal is still there, but it's getting more and more and more of a challenge. You know what I mean?
Like I said, I just was like, I know he likes that idea of making Turkana into an animated film. If there was one that you would, you know, use as inspiration, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I would, like I said, I still think Turkana would make a great animated series, like on Netflix or Amazon Prime or something. But even though I want to finish the series, and I do would love to sell it to somebody to make it into a series, because it would be a great, like, stuff for, like, teens and kids and stuff, I would also love to see the upcoming novels I'm writing, Kaya, turned into an anime, because it fits that genre perfectly. Mm-hmm. Who knows, maybe I can go to Japan and, you know, tell somebody about it, but I don't know if there's certain rules and stuff, you know. I'm not from Japan, so maybe they won't listen to me.
Oh, I think if the idea is good enough, they'll listen to you most. Yeah. Definitely. Did you ever think about who you would love to collaborate with, like if you had a dream collab, whom it would be?
You know, I never really thought about that, but I know this is going to sound funny, but I would love to actually be in the room talking with Dan Povenmire, even though his cartoons from Phineas and Ferb are totally different than what I'm writing. I would love to sort of just talk to the guy and actually get the inspiration, because he makes a lot of videos and he's well known on TikTok and YouTube and stuff, but he's also making Phineas and Ferb, which is more geared towards kids. But still, the guy has a lot of knowledge making cartoons. So I would love to talk to him sometime, you know. And of course, there's a couple other people that I would like to talk to who make, like I said, Turkana would make a great animated series. So you have to have, a showrunner. And I don't know anything about being a showrunner. I can pitch my idea to somebody, but they would probably have a different showrunner. They'd probably come to me and say, hey, how's this go? Because you're the one who wrote it. But I wouldn't make a perfect, you know, I wouldn't make a very good showrunner because I've never done that before. But I mean, talking to other people who've done that would be great to actually turn it into something, you know.
I think, though, not to be a negative Nancy, but I think if you had that showrunner coming to you and saying, Frank, what do we do about this? I think at that point they might just be like, hey, let's just make radical changes and we'll just totally bastardize this idea for, you know, our own purposes.
That is my biggest fear of selling Turkana to a network or something. Like somebody's going to say, you know, the blue hair is nice, but girls love pink. Let's turn her hair pink.
Yeah.
She's been blue for 10 years. What are you talking about?
All right. Just a couple more quick questions here, Frank, before we wrap things up. Are your kids interested in making comics?
My daughter used to love to draw, but she's not drawing anymore. I don't know why, but her energy is still focused on creating stuff. There is these they're called either beads or something, but you put strings into them and you put them together. Have you seen them before?
I've seen them. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget what they're called, but she's made so many of them. Matter of fact, that Comic-Con that I'm going to in December, I bought her a table to sell her stuff at, because she has so much stuff. And this way to give her it. Plus, it's a small Comic-Con. It's like in Defiance, Ohio. I got the table for me for like $30. And I got one for her for $20. You know, I'm going to be in the corner. She'll be like on the row a little bit down away from me, but she gets to sell her stuff and see if she'll make any money out of it, because she's been spending a lot of money making these things, and she loves making these things. And it's a little, she makes like little baskets, stars, you know, stuff for Halloween, like little pumpkins and stuff. And apparently teens and kids love that stuff. So hopefully she does well. But yeah, as for being in the comics and stuff, my son is in the video games, and he has an Oculus. The thing goes over your eyes, and you know, you can do this and whatever. I don't know. I haven't played with it yet, but apparently he loves that Oculus thing. He also still plays Fortnite every now and then, but he's not really into sport. Oh, my son does love to hunt. That is the one thing that we don't have in common. That is the one thing he is totally fine with, that me not like being there for him. I don't like guns. He wants to hunt. He's taking his aunt or his uncle. They're going to go hunting in January. I'm sorry, like November or something. It's like, have at it, kid. That's the one thing I can't help you with. But my kids are very different, though. Yeah.
You know, and you know what? That's great that they found their own niche, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, whether it is being creative, like your daughter with the beads and that, but didn't she help promote Turkana for a while too, if I remember correctly? Yes.
She actually cosplayed as Turkana when she was younger. I think she kind of grew out of the suit, which is totally fine. I totally get it. And I still have the suit. It's in a shoebox. It's on a side. I don't know if anybody will ever wear it again. But if it ever became a cartoon, like on Netflix or Disney, and I went to some huge Comic-Con, like the New York Comic-Con or in L.A., and somebody was going to announce it, it would be great to actually see somebody else besides my child dress as Turkana. That would be fantastic. On the other hand, if these other books, these Kaya books, because Kaya has long ears, and she looks like she has green eyes, and she wears like a cloak, you know. So it's really simple to dress as Kaya if those ever become popular. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that would be a really something to see as well. You know, it'd be awesome to see if somebody wanted to dress as Olivia, who's like 6 feet tall woman, and dress as the thing for wrestling. That'd be pretty cool to see too. You know.
All right, last question here. What advice would you give to somebody that's starting out in the independent publishing world?
Two main things. One, don't give up, because even if you have a dumb idea, write it anyway. It might turn out as crap, but you got to write something to keep going. But if you really love doing it, keep going. This is why I was talking about Azrael before. You know, Steve James, he's a writer. And he loves to write fan fiction. Well, I'm a writer and I love to write, period. I mean, but that book sort of pushed me to keep going. That's why I have Kaya's planned out. I have other books, ideas that I've planned out. And I love to write. Whether if it's comics, you know, manga, or, you know, shows, I just love to write. And that it's one thing that I'm born to do. And that book, Azrael, the story of Steve James, sort of pushed me in that direction. So if anybody ever wants to buy that book and read it, and then what do you mean that, you know, it pushed in that direction? You get to the end and you'll understand why. But it's sort of, and it's weird to some people, but that book sort of changed my life. Writing it sort of changed my life. Even though I'm a security guard by daytime, that book sort of pushed me in the right direction. I was born to be a writer. I'm going to be a writer till the day I die. Even if I retire from being a security guard, I'm still going to be a writer and write more stuff.
All right. So let's run down where folks can find you on the internet. Let's rehype where people can get their hands on the books. Let's talk about that final convention as well. So let's go ahead and hit that right about now.
Okay, well, for one, real simple, if you want to read or look at any of their Turkana books, I have their own website, which is Turkana.com. Now that I have more stuff for my adult stuff, like the Olivia Wrestling books, Timmy of April, and, you know, Azrael, the story of Steve James, that's on my website, which I may have mentioned this before, maybe not, because I'm still kind of tweaking it. It's FrankJamesBailey.com. Real simple, it's my name, FrankJamesBailey.com. But remember, for the child stuff, for the kid stuff for Turkana, that has its own website. I don't want to send kids to my website. What's that, Mom? You know, so that has its own website. As you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook. I have a more of a professional page now. You can also find me on Threads. And you can find me on Blue Sky as well. I do videos on TikTok and also do videos on YouTube. I'm trying to switch more to YouTube, even though my views aren't really there. But I like YouTube a lot better. I've been on YouTube a lot longer. And I'll probably put more short videos on Instagram because recently, for some crazy reason, I have no idea how and why it happened. Recently, I had a viral post on Instagram with 260,000 views. Blew my mind. It never happened before. So I'm thinking of putting more short videos on Instagram to kind of boost that up a little bit. But yeah, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, video stuff on TikTok and on YouTube.
All right, let's talk about that convention real quick. You said November 15th, you're going to be in 15th. Defiance?
Defiance, Ohio. It's November 15th. It's called DEFCON 10. It's put on by the Defiance Public Library, and it goes on every year. Like next year, it'll be called Defiance. It's a DEFCON 11. And I try to go to it every year because there's always a good turnout for a small town, Defiance, Ohio. And it's at a mall that's not the big bright mall, but it's like I'm gonna call it a dead mall because it's not dead yet. But people, they have this thing there every year, and that brings people there all the time. So, and I sell a lot of books there, so it's great to go to that mall. And yeah, it's, matter of fact, if it's at the mall, it's free to get in. So you can actually go there and check out some of the stuff. And there's other people that I've met throughout my, writing, like people from Ohio actually go there and sell their books as well, not just me. So,
okay.
Yeah, DEFCON 10, Defiance, Ohio.
There you go. November 15th, correct?
Yes, November 15th, correct.
All right, so stop on by if you're in the Defiance area. Stop on by the show. Say hello to Frank and all the other talented folks that'll be there, no doubt. Frank, thanks very much, man, for coming on and chatting with me. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, sure. No problem.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Frank James Bailey, talking about his new book, Asriel, The Story of Steve James. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, let me know. And you could do that a couple different ways. First, you could shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. Or you can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts, just look for @pvdcast. And I'm still active on Twitter, under my personal Twitter handle of @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear the show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the easiest place to get every single new episode. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while you're doing that, don't forget to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And it's very important for those companies to know that you're listening. And it's very important for me to know that you're listening. And you know what? There's an easy way to make sure that you're listening. While you're rating and reviewing, go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But there's even a third way that you can catch every single episode. That is through the Facebook page. Every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast for the week's episode. There are three simple ways to hear the show. That is, of course, pvdcast.com. That is, of course, through your favorite podcasting outlet and app. And, of course, through the Facebook broadcast on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.